On today, Pastor Jerry Seawright provides a Father's Day message that challenges our views concerning God's views about Christian fathers. Let's listen as Pastor Seawright discusses Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 4th verse on the subject, A Father's Eyes. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Encourage fathers on today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. Just a couple of announcements. Amen. First, I want to give thanks to everyone that that had a hand in yesterday's funeral. I really appreciate the effort that the church had put forth. In particular, I'm touched by the fact that all throughout the week, it's my understanding that the church showed up and showed out to a sister that was in need. Amen? Amen. And I'm asking that you just continue to keep her up in prayer. Amen. Keep the family in prayer. Amen. And you know, on yesterday, I know Chris came up to others, but he also came up to me and he said, you know, he said, I'm coming back, you know. And the reason why I said that publicly is because I want you all to pray. Amen. Amen. Pray collectively on that. Amen. And speaking of prayer, amen. We have a 30-day prayer going on, 30 days of prayer. Amen. And I tell you, man, those prayers been lifting me up. And I said that, that's Sister Radcliffe. I'm sorry, I didn't see you, Sister. God bless you. But I said, you know, those prayers, man, I tell you, I feel something going on, and I don't feel alone in praying. Amen. We have used the book by Dr. David Jeremiah to lead us in these prayers, and it was interesting because going back to last Saturday. And I received the call from my Sister Radcliffe, and the prayer that day was hope, right? Hope. And I was like, that's like God. He's just on time. And then when I read through that prayer, I tell you, it was just like a brother said to, this morning, you read through those prayers, and by the time you read through those prayers, man, you just are praying on your own, and you just go on and on and on, and that's what I've been doing. So if you have not plugged into those prayers, I ask that you do so this week. Amen. Each and every day, you'll see one posted, and I ask that you just pray along with us. Amen. Sunday school. I'm going to beat it like a drum. Sunday school, that's where you get the meat. Amen. That's where you get the meat of it. I like to think of myself as dessert. But you come to Sunday school for the meat. For the meat of it. Amen. And I want to say something else, too, because, you know, and I go back to, because I want my message, it won't be long. But I want to go back to an example I saw at a restaurant. I was at a restaurant, and I can't remember the circumstance, but they're eating, and then in the distance, there was a group of Jewish brothers going on, and they had the locks going down and the head covering as well, and they were opening the Mishnah or something on that line, and they were going over the scriptures, and I mean, they were going at it, and I mean, it was forceful and energetic and everything. And I was there long enough to witness the whole scene, and I tell you, they were like chopping at it. And then all of a sudden, you know, they would chop at it, bite a sandwich, drink some coffee, and chop at it some more, and bite a sandwich, you know, and drink coffee. And by the time the sandwich was gone and the coffee was over, they got up and they hugged each other. And pretty much said, see you later. Sometimes when you're going over God's word, you know, I'll put it this way to you. If you agree with me 100%, I'll be shocked. Although I am trying to study to show myself approved, I would be shocked if we are on 100%. And sometimes you will see that when we are going through the word. Don't let that discourage you. We're just trying to get to the truth. Amen? To the truth of it. In love. In love. Amen? And speaking of getting to the truth, Tuesday night service. I tell you, I got to put a plug in there as well. Elder Williamson always came before us and said, be not weary in well doing. Well, you know, I won't say that you all are weary, but I'll say that the numbers have gone down a little bit. So we want to, like, boost those numbers up. Amen? Get them up, and I pray that you all will come out. And like I said, it's all about knowing him more. And knowing him better. Amen? Knowing him better. Let's get to the word on the day. Title of this message is A Father's Eyes. A Father's Eyes. That means a plural in eyes. These eyes stand for something. And I'm coming from one verse on today, and as I stated, I won't be before you long. This verse is from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and it's verse 4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. When Paul wrote this verse, he wrote it at a time in which the fathers within that culture had a role in the family government as the one that wielded absolute authority and power, unquestionable authority, and they also commanded respect. The fathers during that time also had unlimited power over all the family members. He was to be obeyed and honored, period. obeyed and honored, period. And this stemmed from the Old Testament definition of fathers. It was like an offshoot of that time because, see, in the Old Testament times, not only were they to be obeyed and honored and they represented absolute authority, but fathers showed this by selling their daughters sometimes. They would sell their daughters. You don't see that nowadays, right, where they just, like, you know, sell children and then stone their children. They would stone them. And when you search scripture, you would be surprised what they stoned them for. Sometimes they would stone them because they were drunkards. Sometimes they stoned them because they were glutton. You eat too much. Right? And sometimes they stoned them for trying to entice others away from the true God. So in the Old Testament, and also in that culture, the fathers represented this unquestionable authority, authoritative figure, if you will. Even to the point where they didn't call them fathers all the time. Sometimes they would call them master, king, lord. Fathers, have you ever been called that? Master, king, lord. I haven't heard that from Karen lately. Master. And I don't think I will. But Paul says here, just to bring it back to us and to make it relevant to us, Paul says, masters, kings and lords, pump your brakes. Because God has a new definition in time, right? He has a new definition for Christian fathers, for Christian fathers. And this has to do with just three I's that I want to talk about today. Identity, invested, as in committed, and then input. Identity. Identity has to do with not only who you are, but what you are. Who you are is internal, right? And a scripture just to keep this in mind is 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. In other words, there was a transformation at some point in your life where you have become a follower of Christ. Amen? So that is who you are. Within you resides the Holy Spirit. Within you should be fruits of repentance, right? Constantly seeking His glory and not your own. That's important because we'll talk about that later as an example. And then it's what you are. What you are is what you exude externally, right? You will know them by their fruits, right? You will know them by their fruits. So it's about identifying yourself with Christ and showing others that you are identified with Christ on the outside. Amen? This is what you ought to do for those who God has gifted you with, because children are a gift. The concept of father expresses the notion of source or fountain of procession. That means you are the source. And these children should see their source because they have a process to continue. As you live for Christ, they ought to want to live for Christ as well, right? They need to see both the inside exuding from the outside exuding from the inside, right? Coming from the inside. Both are important. The old way of petty rules and favoritism. You see that throughout the Old Testament. Petty rules and favoritism and unreasonable demands. Those days are over, Paul says. Why? Because they would provoke kids. These things provoke them to anger. And one of the ways, and one of the definitions, rather, of anger is that not only is it a rage that comes from within, but it also speaks to the point that it's justified. So it's something that's smoldering within, but it's also justified. And we don't want to give our children this justified anger that's inside because of favoritism or pettiness, right? Or unreasonable demand. And grammatically, how this scripture is structured, it's structured in a way where it communicates that if you were doing this, then stop. If you were doing this, if you are doing this, then cut it. Stop. Right? Just cut it. And it's interesting because provoking and identifying yourself, you know, these things kind of blend, especially in my profession, because I see a range to this thing. There's a range to it. See, I've seen children provoked because they don't know their father. And that's a source of provoking them. They don't know him. The father has not identified himself to the child. Even goes to the point where you can't put anything down in the father category of information because they're not claimed. They're not claimed. It even goes to where the children may have little access to father, and even that kind of provokes them. Just having little access. I mean, father is known, but they are too busy to not be around. In other words, fathers think they are doing something when they say to a child, "Let me schedule you in." Right? "Let me schedule you in" is a different message than stating you are my priority. Let me schedule you in. So, fathers, identify yourselves as such, understanding that you are the source of this process that needs to go on in Christ's kingdom, that you are actually generating other believers or making other believers. You're molding them. You're witnessing to them, and your life ought to witness to them as well. Identify yourself as such, and also, if you're provoking, trying to throw your daddy card around all the time, right? Because it gets mixed up. I see a lot of men that come to children and they puff up on them and they throw the daddy card right away without any understanding or anything else. It's just the fact that I'm just your daddy. Be quiet. That's not building a relationship, if you understand what I'm saying. Because the second thing I want to say is you have to be invested. You have to be invested. Part of this scripture says, bring them up. Bring them up. This thing has got to be personal for you. It's got to be personal for you because you got to bring them along. It didn't say send them. It says bring them up. Bring them up. Bring them up. Hence to the scripture in 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter, first verse, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. You are bringing them along in this walk with you. Invested points to not only are you invested in Christ, but you are invested in them as well. Amen. Bring them up. That phrase originally means this, that you are going to hang in there with them to maturity. You are a father for life. Amen? You are a father for life. Oftentimes I see brothers just celebrating up something. As soon as 18 comes, they say, "Wee!" They are eight, they're 18. I was free, right? 18. And they're thinking about the financial component of that. Wee! That's because they may not be with who they had the child with, and they talking about, wee, no more child support. Right? But true fathers don't have those type of parties, do they? No, because true fathers know way beyond 18. You're still doing this. Right? Way beyond. Sometimes legitimately, but sometimes not legitimately. Right? Daddy Long Bucks. You're dealing with them, and the other scripture is saying this. In Romans, the 15th chapter in the first verse, it says this: we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not please ourselves. You see how that ties in? We have weak ones in our care, and we are trying to carry them along and bring them along to maturity. Amen? And that's a job. Because we are also, if you're a man of God, you are also a father in another sense. Your father spiritually, even in the church that you attend. Amen? Your father there as well. And sometimes, well, all the time, in church you will have the weak and you'll have the strong. Now, weak ones actually can think that they are strong. Amen? I'll give you an example. Say, for example, you like playing a little tonk. Nothing wrong with tonk, right? A little spade, right? A little spade here and there. You say to your partner, "Let's run them. Let's run, right? Let's get them." What's that one called? Up and fly, or flying up and rise and fly. See, I had to let somebody bust on themselves. Rise and fly. Rise and fly, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. But then there are ones in the midst. that are weak, but they think they are strong, and they see them cards and you going down and you playing cards. Brother so-and-so? Deacon so-and-so? Up there like, Bruh. Yeah. Bring him back here. All right. Brother, deacon, sister. Huh? Oh, my. And it does something to them where they can't look at you the same. Because in their hearts, they think you have sinned. They think you've done wrong. Well, if you are the strong one and understand your liberties, guess what you must do? You must not please yourself, but you sacrifice that privilege you have so that you will not be a stumbling block for the weaker one. You understand what I'm saying? The same way with your children. The last thing you want to be with your children is a stumbling block. It's the last thing you want to be. Lastly and third, I want to talk about input. And input has to do with training. Training and admonishing. Training. Now, I like to look at it this way. Training is correcting. Did not tell you, right? Sometimes that's part of the course. Sometimes you have to talk like you stutter a lot with right. You. My mind goes back to a time, and I'm sorry. Y'all know who it is. Yes, it's Jalen. I'm sorry, bro. But my mind goes back to a time with Jalen. And Jalen was two or three. And we were at this cabin. And now, you have to understand, for about 2 to 3 years, I was suffering. And the reason being is because, see, Jalen was the first grandchild. And mommy didn't want him touched. And grandmommy did not want him touched. I'm sorry, Grammy didn't want him touched. Auntie didn't want him touched. And we were at this cabin, and I was upstairs, and all I heard was, Jalen, no. Don't, not Jalen. Jalen, no. Jalen, he was like, and Jalen, no, Jalen. By the time I got downstairs, folks were just watching static on the TV. Like, just listening to white noise and stuff. Jalen was running things. I just went about my business. I was like, Lord, give me strength. Jalen, no, I got so tired of it. I said, this is the day. The devil is alive. I went downstairs and I got that little joke and I picked him up so gingerly. No, I didn't. I said, you coming with me. And I took him upstairs just like this. And from that day, we've been best friends. Sometimes you got to step in there. Sometimes you do. Knowledge. As biblically defined, knowledge is, it depends on the willingness of the object, right, to make itself known. And it also depends on the willingness of the knower to participate. It's a two-way street. Fathers, you have to open up yourself to make yourself known. But children, in return, you have to grab on and participate. Amen? So that is part of that training process of sharing and correcting. But it's not just training and correcting. That's just part of it. Imagine, if you will, if your son or daughter had some earplugs on and they never could hear. They never could hear. All right? They cannot hear. And all they see all the time is this. That's all they see. That's all they see. There's no balance to that. That's why he uses the word admonition. Because admonition points to the fact that you also don't have to just continue to put it on someone, but you have to, with words, put it in someone. Right? Admonition means to put in the mind of. So that is a verbal discourse, a verbal training that is taking place with these children as well. It's like what my uncles used to say. They used to say, "Hey, Spock." That's what they used to call me. And sometimes they used to call me, "Hey, Snoop, Snoopy. Come on, man. Let's rap. Let's rap." That mean, to me, it meant that we were going to sit down and we were going to talk. Now, I must admit that my uncles were not in church, so what they were rapping about were sketchy at best. But the point is that they were rapping, engaging, right? Sharing themselves with me and giving me the opportunity to share myself with them. It was a relationship. And as I told you all before, my Uncle Charles, he had such a powerful effect on me. I wanted to be Charles so bad. Oh, he was cool to me. He was so cool to me. The closest thing that I had to a father. And I wanted to be just like him. But the power that he had over me is that that was the one that had such a relationship with me that I did not want to disappoint him. And if he just looked at me with disappointment, my whole countenance fell. He had me in tears just by, and then he would walk away, not speak a word. That's the type of relationship he had with me. And you know, I'm happy to say that I have that relationship with mine, where they can actually see what's on my face before I know it's on my face. And they see it, and then all of a sudden I see that they see it, and then I'm like, "Oh, wow, it's on my face." That's the type of relationship that I was shooting for, because that's the type of relationship that I was shown. It came from my source, and I just simply processed it on. My mother used to sit us down and she had us sit down, and she just said, you know, express yourself. Go ahead. You know, say what you got to say, but don't disrespect me. But go ahead and say what you got to say. And of course, I'm, you know, trying to be Obama. I think. And I shared my thoughts. And that's why, you know, I got a plaque when I grew up from someone that says, everyone is entitled to your opinions. Then I know Mama raised a monster. No, I'm joking. But the point is, though, is she gave us expression. And it's a relationship in which you give and you receive, right? Fathers, it's about that input. It's about being around, being committed. It's about that investment. And it's about identifying yourself. But here's the kicker. In this verse, it also tells you something that a lot of folks read over. Because they say, in the last portion of it, it says this. In the training and admonition of the Lord. Of the Lord. We are not in the business of making many me's. We are not in the business of making many me's. I often see a lot of people, they kind of like give you that shoulder thing going on. As soon as they hear, that boy look just like you. Or that boy act just like you. What we want them to say is that we were not in the business of making many me's, but many Jesuses. We want them to be like our Lord and our Savior. They are following us as we follow Christ, and they are being transformed into His image. Amen? We are not in the business of trying to just stuff these children with our personal views and preferences and everything else, but we ought to be stuffing within them, putting within them the truth, because we want to raise them to righteousness. Amen? And oftentimes we get what we put in. We get what we put in, and guess what our reaction is? Oh my. When we get what we have put in, we want to act shocked about it. When we put in our idiosyncrasies and our prejudices and our views and everything else, and then all of a sudden your child is better at it than you. Right? And then you like, oh my, this is so terrible. And oh, where they get that from? Right? Because you weren't busy making disciples for Christ. You were busy trying to make a better version of you. A better version of you. Fathers, today I speak to you all, but the truth is that this word father, if you look at it and research it on your own, you'll see that this word father also can apply to both parents. So there's something within this that we all can take. Amen? Amen. We want to input. We also want to invest. We want to identify ourselves as disciples of Christ.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.